And take your Bible, please, in 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 2, and we are going to be looking at verses 5 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. All right. Beginning in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says this: "Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." Father, before we jump into this text, we just pray that you will remove all distractions from our hearts and our minds and help us to listen through your Holy Spirit, through your word, to our hearts, so that we can be a people who not only have received forgiveness, but offer it according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have to forgive someone." I think that's true, isn't it? And many times it happens. We think about forgiveness and how it's really applied so often, all the time, in different levels, in different ways. Now, some things are small things to forgive, and some things are extremely serious and to forgive as well. Why is forgiveness needed? Well, it's because there was offense. There was an injury done to someone in some way. That could be a physical injury. It could be an emotional injury. And so these kinds of things happen in life all the time, even with among Christians. Don't be shocked at that. But Christians can be very good at hurting one another as well. So there was a man in this text that was in need of forgiveness. There's no doubt about that. There was a problem going on. He had caused trouble in the church. He got everybody upset. And it happened in front of Paul. And because of that, there was a problem between he and Paul, for sure. And there was also an injury occurred between Paul and the church, because the church saw what was going on with him and Paul, and they just sat back and watched. Obviously, that wasn't the right thing to do, because Paul is not happy about the whole thing. We don't have the severe letter given to us, but we know it was written. He keeps referring to it, and refers to it here again as well, about some things that had taken place and the church themselves didn't do it, but they woke up to it. So he had committed an injury and an extension. If you look at the first verse here in chapter 5, he says, really, it was to all of you. That speaks volumes before we get into anything else. I think we need to understand that when we talk about forgiveness and reconciling wrongs, it really has to do with a collection, not just an individual. We are all part of the body of Christ. I'm trying to think of some of the ways to think about this. If a simple way would be, if you laid your hand up here and let me hit it with a hammer, would you mind let me do that to you? You know, you would probably do that, so you're the wrong kid to ask that question. You would say, you know, my finger says that hurt, but the rest of me is okay. I'm feeling fine. That's really not true. Everything, you stop living for a few moments because you've struck your hand with a hammer and you're just screaming. Parents, come on now, or grandparents, somebody messed with your kid? Oh, it's just their issue, right? It's just their issue. Really? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure if I had a video and I had it set up where someone's going to mess with one of your kids, or even worse, your grandkid, mess with my grandkids, you're in trouble. You see the connectiveness here? I think that's what Paul's saying. Forgiveness is more than just, well, you got a problem with that person, you need to deal with it. No, it's not that at all. This is a body issue. And the reason I think we struggle with discipline in the church and love we ought to have for one another is because we're missing the one another part. In fact, I'm going to say something. I don't want it to sound political because I think it's biblical. I think this is one of the strongest arguments our brothers and sisters of other colors and race have. It's because when they're being hurt and injured, the Christian white community oftentimes can be found no place. Okay? I am not accusing anyone here of being that. I want you to know that. But I'm saying as a general rule, it's pretty true. I had a very tough one-on-one conversation with one of my dear brothers in Christ, a black pastor, and asked him the question. And he was so honest with me and told me basically that as well when some of this stuff came up. He said, I didn't see anything from your church. That hurt, but it was okay. It was a healing hurt. I needed to hear it, and I needed to have a conversation with him. You see, I think Paul is just, that's what he's saying here. All of you are part of this process. It's not that the guy just took off on me and said some horrible things and falsely accused me and verbally abused me, and he did all those things. But you just let it happen. Can't do that. You can't do that. We have to have the one another. We have to have the one another. We have to have each other's back and love each other according to the word. We can't let emotions drive everything. We have to let scriptures drive it. But when sins are done and wrongs are committed, it is a body issue. It's not just the individual. So that's kind of where we are with that. So there's a lot of reasons people will need forgiveness. I mean, I was just going through just a couple in the Bible real quick. You guys could probably come up with one in Genesis, one or two. All right, so maybe telling God, forget it, I know what's best for me, I disobey God. So that's what Adam and Eve did, right? That's pretty much what they said to the Lord. I'm going to do my own thing, okay? So there was a need for reconciliation there. They had to have that. Well, then we had a little bit later, not much later, how about anger out of control? I mean, I don't mind us getting angry at the... When I watched this video, there was a sense of sorrow and anger at the same time about the millions of babies that are being murdered. Does that not bring any emotion in your heart? I think it does. You're going to have to get upset about that. So that's okay, but how about uncontrolled anger for the wrong reasons? That's what Cain did. So Cain gets mad and murders. That's reason for forgiveness. Can a murderer be forgiven? I need the church to respond. Can a murderer be forgiven? Okay, we need to say that out loud because sometimes we like qualify our forgiveness. Well, I can forgive this. You know, he ate my McDonald's McNuggets, and I'm mad at him about that. Or we could get more serious and say, this person did something horrible and violated a person's well-being, whether it's physical or mental, or they took their life. And I got to tell you, Christ died for both. We got to get that down, or we're not going to understand what Paul's talking about. It's a collective thing. We're all part of the body of Christ. We can't ignore our brothers and sisters here in this local body or any other body of Christ. We are one in Christ. And so because of that, you know, these kinds of things that happen that need forgiveness need to be addressed. How about Abraham or Abram at the time lying about his wife? That got Pharaoh in a lot of trouble fast, and God saved him from that. But I would think there's a little forgiveness that needs to be given there. Abram did him wrong. He did him wrong. How about the one who was after God's own heart? Can you list all the things that David did that were sinful? Okay, are you guys getting it? We all sin, and we all fall short of the glory of God, all of us. So we have to remember that when we go into this thing, because otherwise we're going to categorize ourselves and in pride say, well, I haven't done that. Then you need to read the book of James, Because, my friend, if you have broken one, you've broken the law. And we are all lawbreakers. We're all lawbreakers. Well, that's encouraging so far. Thank you, Pastor, for this lovely message. Well, I'm just trying to set it up. Paul said, just trying to say, okay, look, we got false accusations. We got rumors that were said about him, things that weren't true. At the time, the church didn't do anything. Paul was really upset about it, what was being done, but he's more upset that his own friends didn't even stand up for him. He just, whatever. So he goes, we don't know what the letter all said, but we know it said something about this because he addresses it several times. Apparently, though, if you read 5 through 11, the church got it and decided to discipline the guy. So you kind of figure that out here. He says, okay, it's all to you, so it's a collective thing. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So something took place. Whatever church discipline was there and how they did it, you know, this is still unfolding as time's moving forward. We have the finished documents. They're still developing these things. But there was some type of discipline that took place. And because of that, this guy was ousted. And so now Paul has calmed down a little bit. He said, okay, maybe the attitude was this. Now, I'm not quoting the scripture, but this is just what I'm thinking. Okay, I know bad things are going to happen. I know people are going to do stupid things, but it was nice to know my friends had my back. So he kind of calms down a little bit. And now he's going to kind of, when he writes this, it's a little more like a father now. It's not so much like the judge. He's like, okay, look. Appreciate it, you guys. You guys finally got it. You went after him. But he says, hoy, ho, silver. Except he says, whoa, silver, stop. Silver's the horse. Y'all know that, right? Okay. The Lone Ranger. You watch The Lone Ranger? Get your brother to show you The Lone Ranger this afternoon, okay? All right, good. I'll quiz you next week. So he says, look, the punishment by the majority is enough. You should rather forgive and cover him so that he may not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So the couple things are going on here. The discipline worked because he has sorrow. He has something in his heart. This is very important. Follow this. So when we talk about injuries that are done, that are wrong and hurtful, and then we talk about forgiveness, there's some things that are going on right there that are very helpful. I told you this is just a picture in a huge book about the Bible and forgiveness. We can't get all of it. This is a good picture. So the guy apparently at some point, I don't know how long it was, he confessed and he realized, okay, man, I am so sorrowful about this. Did you see what happened? He recognized his sin. Are you catching this? He recognized what he had done. He had been confronted by it, by the church, and however long it took, he was getting to the place where he really wanted to be part of being reconciled. Now, before I go any farther, that immediately pops up all kinds of questions in my head. It did when I was studying. I don't know if it does with you right now. In today's church, it's just so much easier to forget that step. It really is. You guys tick me off enough, guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go somewhere else. See the problem? Why is that allowed? Because the Church of Christ overall, not the denomination, the Church of Christ, believers, we're not connected. We're all like little islands everywhere. Sure, it doesn't matter that you did this over there. You just come on over here. It's all going to be a new day, a new start. Shouldn't be that way. But it's hard to do anything about it unless we all decide to sit down in one room and as leaders and elders of the church say, okay, from now on, any person that comes from any church in any town and we don't have a pastor's recommendation, we're going to have to deal with that. This is old school stuff. It really is, but it really is scriptural because it makes sense. And you guys need to understand this. Running away somewhere else for non-biblical reasons. Now, I'm qualifying that. There might be a biblical reason to get out of Dodge. But for non-biblical reasons is a wrong thing to do. You may feel better about it. You may feel good and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, it is not. It is not the way of the Bible. And Paul saw something here, and he said, look, we got a problem. We have this guy, he did wrong, but he turned around. I've kind of forgave him. That's kind of implied there at the last few verses there. I mean, in the presence of Christ, Christ was pleased that I was able to release all that. You guys should too. This guy valued the relationship with the body. This guy valued being right with Christ. That would be, to me, a pretty good continual idea in developing definition of repentance. He understood what he did was wrong, and he did an about face, and he wanted to make the relationship right. I don't know if the gospel's been watered down so much now that it's all about ignoring the sin and just having the joy of receiving the eternal life. I think we're missing it. I think we have to go to the cross. I think we have to see what Christ did for us at the cross. He died. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to suffer? Why is he up there in a tremendous amount of pain? And trust me, it wasn't just the physical stuff. It was the spiritual thing he was carrying. He did that because he loved you and me so much. He was willing to make that payment to God. We're going to get into that in a little bit, how this works in forgiveness. So I don't know how you can come to God unless you come with a heart that's sorrowful. I'm not saying when you come to the Lord, you're going to remember everything you ever did was wrong. Okay, the Holy Spirit can work through that in time. I'm not saying that there's always tears involved. Okay, I'm not trying to be legalistic about it. But I am saying when you hear this gospel that Christ loves you, your sin and mine is what put him there. And that the only thing that that could help us reconnect with God was his son had to die for you and for me. And he offers that forgiveness. What will you do with it? Oh my, you got to be pulled right into it. You got to feel horrible about the situation and want to do something about it. Let me give you just a little example from a couple weeks ago at home. I like to make mashed potatoes. I really do. Some people know this. And I was making some at home and, of course, boiling the potatoes and had the water up too high. So you know what happens, right? It comes just over the top. You have to really quick. You guys know what I'm talking about. Going over the cup, you have to grab it. You got to get it down as fast as you can. Well, in my hurriedness, I took a cup and I ran over to the sink, and Dawn was over there trying to clean some vegetables, and I wasn't paying very much care or attention. I just dumped the water all over her hand. Boiling water. Okay. You know how you felt right now? That's it. There's a recognition, first of all, what you did was stupid or wrong. All right? I don't have to explain it to you. You're already feeling what? Bad about the whole thing. Are you understanding? Why do we try to philosophize it to death, not understanding repentance is an understanding I wronged God. I am a sinner. And there's immediate, dear God, forgive me kind of an attitude from the heart, whether you cry it out loud or not. You realize there's something there. You may not even understand it. When I was a child, I didn't quite understand all of it. But I remember one time our preacher was preaching at that pulpit on that Sunday night, and he was going at it and talking about the, that Christ died for our sins so that we would not be able to face the punishment of hell and eternal torment forever, and his love extended through his son and all that. And, you know, I don't know how many times I heard that as a kid. And it finally went, somebody took a little breaker. You know, you have switches in your brain. You guys know that? Click. And then I was like, oh, I need God's forgiveness. I have to go to God. Did I have all my theology down? No, that was until I was 7. No. But it was like the boiling water. You get it? Paul saying, look, the guy got it. He was wrong. He realized he was wrong. He did the wrong thing. And what do you do with that? What do you do with that? What do you do with a guy who's really hurt and done something horrible? Or a gal, whoever, and has just done something horrible. And they come to you, sincerity and humility and sorrow, and say, forgive me. Well, you can't say no. Look at the text. Forget what I say. He says in verse 7, this is talking about the majority is enough. Verse 7, so you should rather turn to think about forgiving him and maybe giving him comfort. Is that what it says? No. It says you should turn to forgive. You should turn to comfort him. Okay, this is an important deal. You don't get to say, I'm not doing that, or I'm not ready for that yet. On the human side, I get that, but the Bible says something else. When a person comes that way, you and I don't get that choice. In fact, Matthew 6:14, you know this verse, for you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive their trespasses, guess what happens? Your Father will not forgive your trespasses. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? So what do you do, though? Pastor, there's a lot of people that hurt me that never ask for forgiveness. Get in line. I know that one. I've got quite a few. And for me personally, I've talked about some of these before. I don't want to go down that path, at least very far. But there have been people that we have looked up to in our early marriage that we loved and all that stuff. And literally hurt us horribly. And it was awful. In fact, I became like Cain for a while. I was really angry, you know, was letting it control my thoughts. It put me in the hospital. I was so upset about what happened. You say, what in the world? It's not important, the details. You've all had those kind of hurts where it physically makes you sick and takes over your spirit, your soul, and you're so angry. You weren't the one that did it. That person did it to you. And that person never came. That person never ran up to me. Oh, I'm so sorry for what we did. Never happened. Never happened. And still to this day. But I want to tell you a story about something God did for us. He turned that anger into something else. He turned it upside down through a lot of tears and realizing it was God, the one who loved me so much that he was the parent watching on the sideline seeing his child being mistreated. That was better than me to let go of that and let my Father in heaven deal with it than me to hold on to that. Because I got to tell you something right now. You can hold on to that bitterness and that anger and that righteous judgment of yours all you want, but at the end of the day, the only person you're hurting is yourself. You got to forgive. So what do you do if they don't ask for it? Here's where I want to go back to the cross now. So I want you all to put on your theology. Guys, your theology thinking. You got to walk through this with me. This is big stuff, I think. And I want you to think about it and meditate on it. Be like the Bereans and go home and talk about it. Well, I think this is it. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, he provided for us a path for reconciliation. We wronged him. He didn't wrong us. He died so that we can have forgiveness. Okay? We didn't ask for it. In fact, we didn't want it. We didn't want anything to do with God. But God died for us anyway. Yet while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ has made a way for forgiveness to be received. Now, I, as a non-believer, let's say I'm just not a Christian at all, I have not come to that place, I am in a very scary situation and also a very hopeful situation. Two sides of the same coin. On the one side is I, at any moment, my life could be gone and I can go into a Christless eternity. But that wasn't because God didn't offer me an opportunity to have the gift of God, his love and forgiveness through Christ. I had to do something. It's the hot water on the hand. I realized that it was my sin that put Jesus on that cross. It was my actions and my heart that did that. And I came and I humbled myself to God and I received it. So what does that have to do with people that don't say anything to us? In the same way as Christ did towards us, we must forgive others. How's that? Very simple. You don't let bitterness eat yourself up. You sacrifice whatever that is and make that heart available in your own heart. You are ready and willing at a moment's notice to forgive someone. In fact, I could say it this way. I hope it's not confusing. I have already forgiven them in one sense. But it's not reconciled because the other person hasn't sought it. That's exactly what the gospel is about. Christ is offering us, has paved the way, and is at a moment's notice is ready when we, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we can receive forgiveness. The problem is, as human beings, we kind of get that a little bit mixed up. It's all thrown into a pot, and I can't figure it out. We cannot play the role of God. We cannot decide who we are going to forgive and who we're not going to forgive. We can't do that. We have to be in a spirit always ready for those people who never repent and never come and never do anything. Our hearts must be ready because in our hearts, we've already done the cross, our own cross, so to speak, and we have sacrificed whatever it is. It says, Lord, I am willing now and I'm ready to offer forgiveness to that individual. In fact, my heart, back to my scenario, started to change when I realized this. And I realized that it was up to the Lord, not up to me, to deal with this. There's a great scripture that talks about that, where we have to let the Lord take care of our issues and not try to deal with them ourselves. And so when we get to that place, and there's people in our lives, and by the way, there's still some of those folks, I still hear about them and read about them every now and then. I have a real peace in my heart now. I wish things could be better. I wish they could be right. But I did not allow anger and bitterness to destroy. I think Paul, in his scenario, the guy did repent, so it was a little easier to work this one out. But I want you to see that Paul, before, he kind of, I think he's thinking of us even now. He's going to give some reasons as why this is such a big deal to forgive someone, even if they're not asking, at least have that heart ready to forgive. Why is that a big deal? There's two reasons he gives, if you caught him in the scripture. The first one was it was going to cause long-term damage to the individual who caused the sin. He said, we don't want to have an overwhelming, excessive sorrow in the guy who started the whole thing to begin with. I know it was wrong. I know it hurt. And I'm not saying we're going to, you know, skip down the hallway holding hands and singing some song, but the relationship now can move forward in a positive way because the person really came in humility and asked for reconciliation. If you don't do that, you and I participate in that overwhelming sorrow. It would be as if you and I ran to the cross and said, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I'm trusting in Jesus, my Savior. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Come and save me, Lord, save me. And then God said, no, I don't think so. Can't do that. We cannot do that. So we have to be ready in our hearts. In fact, we have to almost, in a sense, understand what I'm saying, already forgive, knowing that in reality, it's not a completed thing because they have not come and asked for it, but we have offered it in our hearts. He's saying, don't let him become overwhelmed with that. You can't hold that. You let me take care of it. So the one thing was, this poor guy was going to have a long-term effect. I've seen it in churches where people just won't forgive, and a guy comes and he's come forward. We don't do that much anymore. He comes forward, he cries, and he asks for forgiveness, and half the people don't want to forgive him, and it drives the man away from faith. That's what it does. Overwhelming sorrow. You mean I can't be forgiven for what I've done? So Paul says we can't do that to the guy. But the second thing, it wasn't the individual, it was the church. Did you catch the bottom there? It said, look, for the sake, we don't want, this is verse 11, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his design. Satan had a bigger purpose in all of this. He wanted to bust the church up. He's just using this situation to get to the rest of us. It happens sometimes, doesn't it? Something small gets blown up, something that should have been taken care of and could have been taken care of, but it wasn't. And now it's affecting, everybody takes sides now, and the church gets all divided up, and Paul says, don't let it happen. That's why the church must always practice this forgiveness, even when they don't ask. Not for, if they don't ask, not for reconciliation. That can never happen until they do. But in your heart, you're ready. In your heart, you're willing. And if that person comes in the spirit that they should, forgiveness is done. And in the meantime, the peace of Christ is in your heart. I love that phrase where he says, if I've forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. It's like saying, Christ is watching all this. He's approving of this. I'm offering forgiveness. And you know what? The guy really is, well, he hurt me more than he hurt you, but he hurt all of us because we're one body. What's our solution then? What do we take from this? Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, you're going to have to know that people are going to hurt you all your life. Different ways, different levels. It's just going to happen. It's the way it is. So you have to choose to do exactly what Paul says here. He says, forgive, comfort, and then in the verse 8, I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. Three things. Ready? Forgive, comfort, love. Forgive, comfort, love. Now there's a little more action involved rather than just a verbal, yeah, I forgive you. Oh, there's a forgiveness, yes, judicially, so to speak, but there's a comfort. Oh, it's relational now. I have to actually act, and so forgiveness is, we don't bring that all up against him anymore, right? Supposed to be done. That's what forgiveness is. I don't say I'm sorry, and then when it's convenient at the next argument you have, you start bringing up 1962 again. You remember that, right? You guys remember 1962, right? Yeah, well, people do that all the time. That's not forgiveness. Then you've got the problem, and you need to ask for forgiveness. Forgive, comfort, love, because a person is probably not always going to see their fault. And sometimes when they do, some will repent and some won't. You need to know that. But don't let that stop you from practicing forgiveness, because you will be a slave to your anger if you don't. I close with this, Romans 12. Just listen to this great, great verse. Actually, it's a few verses. Bless those who persecute you. Bless, don't curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Here comes, if possible, so far it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Should we forgive? Yes. Because Christ forgave us. and he continues to do so. Reconciliation is a different issue. Only when that person realizes what they have done and comes in humility and asks, can true, full forgiveness and reconciliation take place. But in our hearts, we don't have to wait for that. Let God do his work in us. Let us be a people who live with an attitude of forgiveness. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads, please, just for a moment? I know that every person in some time in his life receives injuries done by others. And there are some serious injuries that have been done to folks in here. More than just hurt feelings. There's been some serious things done. There's probably also been some serious things done by. My friend, I would throw myself in that, in the sense that we can let our anger, our thoughts, our bitterness get the best of us. And we know that is not the best of us when we do. So right now, you have an opportunity. Just kind of look at your own heart and your mind and ask yourself the question, Lord, is there anything that's in my heart that I need to deal with you about, that I have not acted honorably in any way or thought rightly? And you need to deal with that right now with the Lord. Go ahead and do it. Humbly come to the Lord and say, Father, this is what happened. If you're not sure, you could surely pray this prayer, Lord, if there's anything that I've done that I don't even know about, Lord, I humbly ask that you'll show me so that I may get my heart right with you. And do that, because 1 John 1:9 gives that promise. Second thing is, I want you to look seriously at how you think and think about other people, people that have hurt you. That person may very well not really care what they did to you, and it's eating you alive. And today, the scriptures want to set you free. Let God take care of that. Say, Lord, this person, what they did was horrible. They hurt me, they hurt my kids, they hurt my grandkids, or they hurt my friends, or whatever it is. And it wasn't just a difference of opinion, it was a sin. And Father, I've just struggled with it so much, and it's not doing me any good. Give me a heart of forgiveness. Help me to be able to pray for this person, that they may come to know Jesus Christ, and that they may come and repent. Help me to have the kind of love for them that you had for me when I was running away from you. I think that's the spirit of our passage this morning. So Lord, as we finish our time here, we thank you for the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you provide comfort, love, forgiveness all the time, every day. You even give us instructions on how that is done. Lord, I pray that we will not fall into a spirit of pride and self-righteousness, that we deserve to be able to punish the other person. That is not our job. I just pray, Lord, that we would not allow the hurts that have come into our hearts to eat us alive. So today, may it be the last day. Help us to come to the cross and with thankful hearts for what you've done for us. Help us to lay down the hurts that others have done to us, which you already know about, and release that to you. You do a much better job of bringing people to yourself than we do. Help us to trust in you in that. I pray for comfort and love and peace. And help us, Lord, as we move forward this week, to look to bring that great message of this gospel of forgiveness and peace to those we rub elbows with. In the name of Christ our Savior, amen.